From KUER News in Salt Lake City, I'm Diane Machapinto. Utah lawmakers won't consider proposals to censure or recall U.S. Senator Mitt Romney after all. Instead, House Speaker Brad Wilson says state leaders will endorse a public statement that expresses appreciation for President Donald Trump and his administration's attention to Utah issues. The censure proposal floated by Representative Phil Lyman would have publicly rebuked Romney. The recall measure would have created a way to remove a sitting senator some say may have been unconstitutional. Over the weekend, the Louisiana Republican State Central Committee unanimously agreed to censure Romney in a symbolic move. A bill to study the plight of missing and murdered indigenous women in Utah passed out of committee yesterday. Salt Lake Democrat Angela Romero is running the bill that would create a task force of law enforcement, advocates, and other experts who would make recommendations to address the issue. Darren Perry is chairman of the Northwestern Band of the Shoshone Nation and spoke in support of the bill, which passed 8-1.
This bill is the right thing at the right time. It just allows us to start a dialogue, start gathering information, and solve the problem, give us answers.
Republican Mark Strong from Bluffdale cast the lone dissenting vote. He asked Romero to change the title of the bill to include men and boys. A law that would mandate that fetal remains be cremated or buried passed the Utah State Senate yesterday. It would apply to abortion and medical providers. Abortion rights advocates say that legislation stigmatizes the procedure. The proposals come after the U.S. Supreme Court last year upheld a similar Indiana law signed by then-Governor Mike Pence. The requirements also apply to miscarriages at medical facilities. Supporters say they would be more dignified and create space if people need to grieve. Opponents say the law chips away at abortion rights and can make it harder to provide pregnancy termination. Washington County residents got a glimpse of the future yesterday when Utah transportation officials kicked off 3 days of free test rides in St. George on an autonomous shuttle they're touring around the state. From our Southwest News Bureau, KUER's David Fox has the story.
The vehicle is about the size and shape of a gondola car and can fit up to a dozen people. Its top speed is 12 miles per hour, so it's not quite ready for mainstream transit. But Chris Sivrakis of the Utah Department of Transportation says the year-long tour, which launched last April, is more about introducing the public to the idea of driverless vehicles.
Will you trust it? Will you put your kids in something like that? Those are kind of the bigger picture questions that we want people to explore.
UDOT is partnering on the project with the Utah Transit Authority, where Jaron Robertson leads a team developing mobility solutions. He says autonomous vehicles could connect trains and buses to new neighborhoods and commercial centers, and that this isn't a strategy to get rid of jobs.
We see this as complementing our existing service. So it allows us maybe in new ways to expand transit where we may not otherwise been able to.
The shuttle will stop next at the state capitol in early March, when lawmakers can try it too. David Fox, KUER News.
The Wasatch Front Water Quality Council is requesting $150,000 from the Utah legislature for its campaign, Toilets Are Not Trash Cans. The quest to educate residents to not flush non-flushables because clogged sewer lines are a real problem. Wet wipes, feminine products, and unused pharmaceuticals are examples of items that should not be tossed in the toilet. The products caused a $10,000 problem with pumps at the Central Davis Sewer District facility, according to District General Manager Jill Jones. A recent investigation by the Idaho Statesman found that a couple dozen people moved to the Mountain West because of its vaccine regulations. Ray Ellen Bichelle reports.
Some of the people who ditched states like California and Washington called themselves refugees. They chose Idaho because it was easier to opt out of vaccinating their children. Colorado and Utah have similar options. Rich Lakin is the immunization program manager at the Utah Department of Health.
I hadn't even really thought about it until I received a couple calls.
Calls from New York and California, just two of them over the span of about a year.
But I talked to them about the way that you can get exemptions here in Utah, and they said it was much more enticing than what's happened in their state. And they had thought about leaving their state so that they could claim an exemption.
Researchers have found that nationally, this stance is pretty rare. Only about 1 or 2% of parents refuse all vaccines. But in small communities and schools, one family's choice can make a difference when it comes to controlling outbreaks of infectious disease like measles. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Ray Ellen Bichelle.
And I'm Diane Machapinto, KUER News.